Here we go. I mean, it's December 18th. I'm already lost in the fog of the holidays. I really am. I can't keep time straight. I don't know when we're doing a show, when we're not doing a show, when the Niners are playing next. I'm all over the place. I got to run out and still get Jillian a Christmas gift. Wish me luck. How you doing, everyone? Great to see you. Thank you so much for coming on back to Damon Bruce Plus. Good to have you here. And let me tell you, we got a good one for you today. We're going to dip back into something that I did yesterday that unfortunately we weren't able to bring you live at 11 a.m. West Coast time as we normally go live right at this time. But I had a meeting yesterday, and so I taped something with Nick Wright. I got a great interview with Nick Wright. It's kind of an all-encompassing interview that gets into, you know, the Chiefs, the Niners, a couple of NBA things, a little Warriors. You know, and as always, Nick is a little wrong about his Bay Area assessments, but I love the guy. I really do. He's a friend of mine, and he's good at what he does. And he talks about the price of fame in a way that's pretty darn interesting. So we're going to have a little replay for you right here on the show. But first, we handle today's business. And today's business, as this thumbnail said, is you can start from the bottom but reach the top really quick in the NFL. You truly can. First of all, I don't know what you're doing for lunch today, but you'd be crazy to not be doing it at Ike Sandwiches. Ike is the man. The sandwiches are delicious. You got a lot of holiday cooking coming up. You don't want to make any meal that you don't have to. Buy a couple of Ike sandwiches. Bring one home. Put them in the fridge. Have one for dinner. Take a little stress off. And if you're not around in Ike's, I hope you will be soon. It's the fastest growing sandwich shop in the world. And you join that Love Rewards program. You'll be very, very happy that you did. You earn your way towards free sandwiches, chips, drinks, and all those good things. Our friends, the Dubliner, are ready to throw open their doors and welcome you this holiday season. Best poured Guinness in all of San Francisco, the Dubliner West Portal. Get yourself there. Say hi to Kenny and John for me. Whether you're enjoying a little Warriors basketball, maybe some Sharks hockey, maybe you got to drink away those holiday blues, the Dubliner is a place to do it. Lots of good people, fine folk having a good time at the Dubliner. Go find out for yourself. There's the San Francisco Normals. It's not like you got a bunch of tech vests and dot-com dudes walking around the Dubliner. These are the Normals in San Francisco. And cheers. Here's to the Normals. We'll take all we can get these days. Sip of the day, in effect, right off the rip. We're off to a great start. And I want you, as you're having a little fun watching a whole bunch of playoff football, well, playoff football soon. We got a regular season to wrap up here. But we got playoff college football coming soon. We got all sorts of action out there. Take your action to Sleeper and use promo code Damon. When you do, you will find yourself instantly when you download in the most easy to use interface that you're going to find anywhere. Incredible props and payouts. You got to see for yourself why Sleeper is the place to be. Use promo code Damon, get $100 deposit match, and do it right on the link in the description of this very live stream that you're watching right now. So there we go. We got our business handled. It is good to have you here. And let's get into today's topic because, you know, going from worst to first, starting from the bottom, now we hear, right? That's a big, that was a big song. Everyone liked that one. Oh, how am I? There we go. When it comes to going from worst to first, like, that's a pretty hard thing to do across the world of sports. You know, I mean, when's the last time the Washington Wizards went from worst to first, right? In the NBA, it's tough to do. A lot of people thought the Sharks might be the worst team in hockey. Not anymore. They could be a playoff team this year. That's how accelerating Macklin Celebrini is to that franchise. But when it comes to the NFL, the concept of going worst to first is no big whoop. As a matter of fact, it kind of happens all the time. This is just more proof that there's really no momentum to be gained. I keep on telling you, and I got people arguing with me, that there's really, it's hard to bring momentum from this series into that series. It's hard to bring momentum from the first quarter into the second quarter, from the second quarter through halftime into the third quarter, much less week over week, much less month over month, and forget year over year. I mean, you're basically talking two different football languages year over year. I don't care how fluent you thought you were in football last year or how completely remedial you thought you were in football last year. You can learn the language quickly. You can also forget it really fast, too. So this coming weekend, here we are. It's week 15. And the Bears, Patriots, and 49ers can all clinch playoff spots with wins this weekend. Everyone punches their we-in ticket. if they win, the 49ers, the Patriots, and the Bears. Guess what all three of those teams did last year? They all finished last in their own divisions, all of them. Josh Dubow, our fearless Bay Area AP writer, I always love Josh Dubow's information. He points out, you know, at least one team has made the playoffs after finishing last in their division in the previous year in 26 of the last 29 seasons. So we got nearly 30 years that we're talking about here. This is no schmow shampoo size of evidence. This is a big sample size of evidence right here. I mean, that's crazy. 26 of the last 29 seasons see a team go from worst to first. NFL stands for not for long. And that even means being bad, apparently. Moreover, this could be the third time in the last 4 years where three teams qualify from worst to first, going from totally out to totally in year over year. That's something else to me. It really is. And when I say there is no such thing as momentum, this is what I mean. Everybody is a decent draft class and a free agency and maybe a coaching change away from turning things around quickly in football. It really does happen. Also, you never know when that light switch is going to be found. You know, if you're developing a young quarterback, you know, for the first couple of years there, you're like, what am I looking at? And all of a sudden you're like, oh, there he is. That's what I wanted to see. By the way, this is also like court case quality evidence. Like, you could bring this in and just accuse professionally the Raiders, the Jets, and the Browns of just institutional negligence, couldn't you? I mean, look at those stats. Somebody goes from worst to first in 26 of the last 29 years. That's basically the same 30 years that these teams have been so thoroughly lost in the woods. Now, I understand the Jets did make a couple of AFC championship games with Mark Sanchez and, you know, Revis at the peak of that Rex Ryan moment. It's gone now. But it's amazing how dedicated your owner has to be to being just a jerk off, not knowing what to do, not knowing when to exercise a little patience, when to get a little aggressive, just not knowing what to do. Whatever lever there is to pull, we all know that the Raiders, the Jets, and the Browns will forever pull the wrong lever. There is no, and they even, as they were falling, reached out, accidentally grabbed the correct lever and pulled it by just dumb luck. Like, if that were going to happen, it would have happened by now, right? Look, huge Thursday night football game tonight. Absolutely huge Thursday night football game tonight. If you are a 49ers fan, you need to be rooting for the Seahawks. And I know that that is a hard thing to even hear. It sounds funny to say. You need to be a Seahawks fan tonight, Niners fans. Like, if you got a Steve Largent jersey somewhere back in that closet, tonight's the night to find it. Where's that Steve Largent jersey? Where's that Warren Moon jersey? Find it now. You're going to need it. Huge, huge game. And if Seattle wins, the path is perfectly clear for the 49ers. Seattle wins tonight and beats LA. The Niners win the next three. They are the one seed. Nothing to debate. No other moving parts. No other got to look out in the rearview mirror or scoreboard watch here or over there. Nope, it is Seattle wins tonight. Niners win their next three. They are the one seed. There are a number of reasons to want the one seed. The first is obvious: a bye week for an off-injured football team. I think that's a good thing. You know, in the world of, well, you're worried about rest versus rust. No, I will take all the rust that comes from good rest this team could use. Brock right now, he is really playing well. Since he rolled back into the fold, the 49ers are 4-0. They're first on third down rate in the NFL. They're second in quarterback rating in the NFL. I think I actually told Nick Wright that they were first. I was off by 1 point. And they're fourth in the NFL in points per game. So all of a sudden, an offense that's going to have to do all the heavy lifting from here on out, because that defense just is not built to lift heavy things. The offense is waking up at the right time. And speaking of back in the fold, and speaking of another reason why you'd want the 49ers to get the one seed, again, I want the one seed for the bye week. I really don't think Levi Stadium is a legitimate home field advantage at all. So I don't care that, oh, it'd be a Niner home game. Like, for you fans, you want to go to that. Like, I totally appreciate it. I get it. Why we need the Niners to be the one seed is because that's as much Greg Papa as you're possibly going to be able to get this year. Great news yesterday. My friend Bob Sargent, who is the director of broadcasting for the 49ers, called into KNBR to talk about a transaction that the Niners were making, and they have opened Greg Papa's practice window. Greg Papa will not be behind the mic in Indianapolis this coming weekend, or Monday Night Football, I should say. I believe it's Guy Haberman's turn at the mic again. But Greg will be back for the final two home games of the regular season. He is feeling healthy enough to do that. That is wonderful news. That is just great. It is exactly the kind of like holiday cheer I needed to hear. I wanted to hear that. It's so, I let me tell you, I know some people involved. Okay. I know some people involved, and I can tell you that there was very little hope when Greg's story broke about his battle with cancer that he was going to do another play this year. You know, there was fear that maybe Greg behind the microphone is just, is done traveling, even if he does. There was a lot of speculation that Greg would not be able to return this year. The fact that he is, I hope that that is direct correlation to his health, his prognosis. That's wonderful. I don't think Greg, though, is going to be going on the road. So this is why the Niners need the one seed. Do you realize that the Niners are the one seed? They do not have to leave Levi Stadium between now and either the day they're eliminated or the day they're playing the Super Bowl. They wouldn't have to leave Santa Clara because it's all right there. And if it's all right there, the chances of Greg doing every game, I think, go up. I even texted Bob Sargent today. I said, would Greg be around for the playoffs? And he just said, TBD, TBD. You know, there's a huge health concern that is number one concern there is. But obviously the Niners would love Greg behind the microphone. Greg would love to be behind the microphone. As someone who's been behind a microphone for a significant portion of my life, it's amazing how incomplete you feel as a human when this gets taken away from you. It becomes part of your identity. It really does. And so in order for Greg to truly recover and feel like himself, doing football play-by-play has got to be a part of that puzzle. So great news for Greg. God, I hope this is just, come on, you know, I don't say a lot of prayers, but this one's for Greg. And hopefully he's behind a microphone for every game between now and the Niners hosting the freaking Super Bowl. Crazier things have happened. Crazier things have happened. Joseph says it's amazing how all Bay Area sportscasters are rallying around Greg Papa. Let me tell you, man, you know, Greg's got an awful lot of house credit built up in this town. And I'm just going to personally tell you that Greg Papa is a huge reason why I got pulled into Afternoon Drive all those years ago. You know, when he was on 95.7 The Game, and The Game was just completely floundering in the ratings and they had the wrong shows everywhere, Greg went into the office and said, it's time to bring in Damon. It is. Go make him the offer that you didn't make him the first time around. Go get him. Greg had a lot to do with that. So I'm always going to appreciate it. And we've never really even talked about it, but I know things. I know things. And Greg helped change my life. He really did. So I'm indebted to that guy as far as I'm concerned going forward forever. Not to mention, I also like the guy. Greg's my kind of guy. We had fun in New Orleans, let's just say, when we were all out there for the Super Bowl a million years ago. A couple of supers in here saying, Fuji Simeon, is Puka Nacua now the new Antonio Brown? All the off-field controversy before tonight's game, plus his brother got arrested for allegedly stealing a Lakers SUV. Yeah. What is going on? All I can tell you is look around the world. If you think it's the right time to do something that could be interpreted as anti-Semitic, as a celebratory touchdown dance, like you're just a flaming asshole. Okay, that's it. You know, you're a flaming asshole. Happy Hanukkah, by the way, to all of our Jewish brothers and sisters. And it ain't easy right now in that community. And anything to make it a little hard is just a dick move for look at me sake. And if Puka Nacua really does that, I hope he gets suspended. Seems to be I'm going out of my way to be a troll move. And I don't know what he was on, some podcast, or I don't know what what is he supposed to, like, he's going to rub his hands together? Like he is, you know, like Cartman would say, oh, you're a covetous Jew. You know, I mean, what is the deal there? What is he supposed to be? What is he? I don't even get it. I don't care. Keep him out of the end zone. I hope the Rams lose. So, you know, you really want to do an anti-Semitic dance on Thursday Night Football? You know, there's a part of me that says, have at it. Have at it, because when someone shows you who they really are, believe them. He's not responsible for his brother. His brother could be just a dope, I guess. Puka has the nerve to say concussions aren't real. Well, then helmet to helmet, put one in that dude's ear hole and convince him otherwise the next time he meets Malik Mustafa over the middle. It's the old saying, the biggest problem with concussions is they don't limp. If a concussion limped, we'd all respect it. Concussions don't limp, so no one really respects it. Puka is one slant away from believing in concussions, believe me. Fuji coming in again saying, I guess I got to start following hockey and the Sharks. You absolutely should. It's a hell of a show. Go Sharks. Yeah, you should. The Sharks are an awful lot of fun, man. And Macklin Celebrini is worth the price of admission. We just had, speaking of Chef A, you're in here. He's a concussion denier. Holocaust denier turns into a concussion denier. Chef A just went to her first, I think, Sharks game. Chef A, I hope you had a great time. And happy Hanukkah, darling, to all of our friends out there. Man, anyone who's ever helped me, you know, I see Chef A saying, great to hear that Greg helped you. I never knew that. I don't think I ever really talked about it tonight. Oh, Chef A's going tonight. There you go. She's going tonight. Chef A's at the tank, everybody. You see a chick partying, that's Chef A. Go say hi. Have a great time. Now, look, anyone who's ever been there for me in my life, I've never, ever forgotten it. I mean, if you stand by my side once, I will stand behind you forever. I am loyal like that. Loyal to a fault, even. But that's how I roll. You treat me right once, I'm pretty much in your camp going forward forever. You're going to have to really F it up for me to start being like, nah, not that guy. Well. Got a little spilkis here. Excuse me. I mean, what could be a greater hallmark of Hanukkah than Spilkes on the air? Cheers. Monday night, Jillian went out and got, she went out with a friend of hers for what was that? I think Monday night was the first night of Hanukkah. They went to Supermensch in the marina. Jillian got a little, I think she had a little knish, maybe a little latke. I think she got a nice pastrami on rye. And of course, you know, the girls are like, take the bread off, just eat the pastrami. Like, you're at a Jewish deli. Don't start counting calories here. Okay. So, look, great news about Greg Papa. I hope it continues to be nothing but great news for Greg. Again, nothing but great offense for the 49ers since Brock came on back. Hopefully that continues. Hopefully it's a great night for the Seattle Seahawks. Sam Darnold, you want to do one solid? Sam Darnold, you want to thank Kyle Shanahan for reviving your career? Tonight's the night to do it. Tonight's the night to thank Kyle Shanahan, Sam Darnold. Go ahead and do it. Fuji again coming in here saying, Damon, you might need to do Sharks coverage, especially if they're hot and ascending, if the Giants or Warriors start to decline, downward spiral. Hey, we've been talking some Sharks over here, more than we have in years past for sure. But we also want an audience, you know. By the way, speaking of audience, hit that thumbs up button, tap that like button, tap that subscribe button. We're less than, I think, 600 now away, less than 600 subs away from reaching our goal of 50,000. Is this going to happen before 2026 gets here? It's up to you, folks. You're going to have to get aggressive. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell an enemy about Damon Bruce Plus. Ask them to like and subscribe. I want to talk about the team that I grew up rooting for as a kid. I was a huge Chicago Bears fan growing up. And I'm going to tell you right now, they move out of Chicago's city limits, I'm done. You know, Arlington, maybe I'll still pay an awful lot of attention to what you do. If there's any talk of them moving to Northwest Indiana, the region, it's over. Kevin Warren is the president of the Chicago Bears, and they are proving in real time how poorly they've been run for decades, how poorly they're still being run right now, and how looking for a deal tax break cheap they are at all freaking times. Staying in downtown Chicago, too expensive, too cheap. Going out to Arlington, they bought all that land, too expensive now, too cheap. They didn't get the tax breaks they thought they were going to get. So now, there is talk that the Chicago Bears could move to the region, Northwest Indiana, Hammond, Indiana. Have you ever been to Hammond, Indiana? Of course you haven't, because no one in their right mind ever makes a plan to go to Hammond, Indiana. Hammond, Indiana is where you go to get mugged while you're getting gas. Did you want to meet a Latin king today? Come on through Hammond, Indiana. It's an impoverished town of about 80,000 people that personifies the death of the Rust Belt. There are enough people, though. Hammond really is close enough to the Illinois border to where, as most of Indiana does daylight savings time, except for Hammond, Indiana. Hammond stays on Chicago time at all times. Hammond's in Chicago time, in the time zone. Look, I got friends from Hammond. Michael Jackson is from Hammond, Indiana. There are a lot of good people in Hammond, Indiana. There are, we got our Hammond, Indiana, the region jokes. And I'm not even shitting you. It is called the region. Like the Bears, the region. That's real. That's real. Like, you can buy maps in Indiana that says, welcome to the region. Well, Gary, Indiana is Hammond, Indiana. It's like right there. It's all right. Hammond is the Harlem of Gary, Indiana, basically. It's all right there. It's like one and the same. So Kevin Warren was running the Big Ten. The Chicago Bears hired him to get the stadium issue nailed down. And this guy is just so tone deaf and terrible at messaging that it's insane. He was brought in to solve a stadium issue that is now more fluid than the day he took the job. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. The Bears world. So here's the thing. It's not just about building a stadium that's used on game day. Now you're looking for, you know, the Bears world. You want 365 days a year of foot traffic coming in, going to your team store, buying something, touring your stadium, all this shit. You want it. You want foot traffic. There's no foot traffic in freaking the region. Again, you don't intentionally go there. You're either from there trying to leave or just getting gas. And by the way, if I'm the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, I am on the phone with the biggest lawyer in the state of Indiana, and whether or not you're telling me this is a frivolous lawsuit that isn't based in anything that could actually prevent the Bears from doing it, I would sue the Chicago Bears for several billion dollars for coming into my state and infringing on my territory. And even if a judge would dismiss it, if I were the Indianapolis Colts, I would be setting the "you're not welcome here" tone, like, loudly. The Chicago Bears moving to Hammond, Indiana. Could we come up with a dumber idea? We really couldn't. We really, really couldn't. I guess the Chicago Bears could move to Louisville, Kentucky. That would make about as much sense. What are you guys doing? Especially during Packers week. The Bears are hosting the Green Bay Packers in the biggest game at Soldier Field that anybody can remember since, like, the double doink. It's the biggest home game the Bears have had all year. And the week before the Packers and Bears play, Kevin Warren is out doing this. He's putting an open letter to Bears fans. Could you be more tone deaf? Could you take more attention away from the team? It's supposed to be on the field time. And Kevin Warren picked this week to tell everyone, yeah, we just might move the Bears out of the city of Chicago, out of the state of Illinois. You fucking clueless idiot. Like, you could have, if you really want to make this public, you could have done it next week when you're not playing your biggest rival there could ever possibly be in the NFL. It's just tone deaf. Just tone deaf. This is the week you pick to piss your fan base off with the dumbest idea humanly possible. Kevin Warren, what are you doing? Seriously, if I'm the Colts, I am on the phone with Ann Fong right now. I'm saying, Ann Fong, something's wrong. We got to keep these Bears out of the state of Indiana. It's ridiculous. Freaking ridiculous. And I'm wearing the boycott shirt. This is for John Fisher. I'm just boycott Kevin Warren, boycott stupid ideas, boycott team presidents who take the most important football week of the year to pass along a memo that's just designed to piss everybody off. What are you doing? Unbelievable. By the way, there are some serious numbers out there about NFL viewership that I guess we got to share with you, because this is big, right? NFL viewership this year in the 2025 season through week 15 is averaging 18.6 million viewers per game. It is the highest average through week 15 since 1989. It's up 8% just year over year. NFL programs rank as 74 of the top 80 shows measured by Nielsen since the start of the 2025 season. The Oscars are one of the rare shows that ever joins the hey, top 100 viewed shows of the week. It's all football. It's either all NFL, the college football playoffs, maybe the Final Four will sneak in there, and the Oscars. Well, guess what? As we see, these streamers buying eyeballs. I mean, that's what, when the Netflix, when it got into bed with the NFL, Amazon, when it got into bed with the NFL, it's not like they really wanted to bring you football. They just wanted eyeballs. So they're going to buy the thing that gets the most eyeballs. Well, the Oscars is moving to Netflix. YouTube also learned that moving to Netflix would be, pardon my take, the Ryan Russillo podcast and Spittin' Chicklets. These are three huge sports podcasts that are now also going to Netflix. So Netflix isn't just buying eyeballs, they're buying ears now too. All I can tell you, as YouTube maybe loses some of its content, hey, YouTube, guess what? You got Damon Bruce. Congratulations. YouTube, start taking this show and pushing it through the algorithm harder. How are we not at 50,000 views per episode? The show's good enough for that to happen. Freaking push it, YouTube, before I take my shit to Netflix. I tell you, yesterday, I put out a Nick Wright video because I didn't have time, the window, to do the live show at 11 a.m. It's really good, to the point where that's what I want to share with you now. Because a lot of you, I think, missed it yesterday. Just because you watched the live stream doesn't mean you're watching the videos, doesn't mean you're watching the shorts. So I want to I want to share this interview with Nick Wright with you. Again, we get into the stuff that is sports. But what I think is the most interesting part of this is like the first 10, 15 minutes where Nick talks about a level of fan venom confronting him in public spaces that is now like tenfold of what it used to be. I think Nick really opened up about some interesting things here that, you know, it's the price of fame. And by the way, he's not crying. He's not saying, oh, woe's me or anything. He understands, it's, you know, when you're on a big boy channel, you're representing a big boy network, you're going to get some big boy criticism. And sometimes that comes in person. He calls it a fame tax. And he's right about that. I think this is going to be pretty interesting, and I hope you would agree. And after this, we're going to do Today in History. So I hope you plan on sticking around. I'm not done yet. The live show isn't over, but I do. This is called repurposing your own content. This is what smart content people do, and this is what I want to share with you, because I think that there's some interesting stuff in here. And look, if Nick annoys you on his show, I think you're going to find a less annoying Nick. Because what you got here is kind of like what you get when me and Sam Batesh do a show together, or me and Kruger do a show together. You got a couple of guys who are actual friends talking. So this is more of a conversation than is an interview, and I hope you enjoy it. Here is yesterday, for your enjoyment, Nick Wright, and then we're going to come on back, and we're going to do Today in History here on the Damon Bruce Show. So don't you go anywhere. Here we go with yesterday's show. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus, and welcome back, Nick Wright. Good to see you again, Nick. It's been an awfully long time since we've connected. Man, your show on FS1 is just cooking with grease. You, Kevin, and Broussard, nice, you guys are crushing it. And I'm not saying that because we're friendly. I'm saying that because I watch all this garbage, and you got the best garbage out there. You really do.
Well, I appreciate it. No, we have a ton of fun. Show's doing well. We're about to, me, Brew Wilds, the three of us, full-time, in-person, in the afternoons, that was started September of 2022, which means this is about to be our first NFL playoffs without the Chiefs being involved, and our first NFL playoffs without the Chiefs ultimately making the Super Bowl. So we're in kind of a brave new world for the show as of a few days ago. But, you know, I appreciate it. The show's been so much fun and everything's been great. So, you know, everything's good in that world and it's good to see you again.
Which co-host or executive producer had to talk you out of being wheeled into the studio in a casket after Mahomes tore his ACL?
The gurney played. You know, I'll pull you behind the curtain a little bit because we had the casket on Friday. We showed it. And the idea I had was, because I thought the Chiefs were going to win, was that we could on Monday pre-tape us all like we're live, pre-tape us all at the desk. I bang on the table. You know, we do the intro. We're all sitting there. But it's taped, and then live Wild's like, you know, we had a whole bit planned. If the Chiefs lost, wheel out the casket. They have that be live, and then while it looks like I'm sitting at the desk, I jump out of the casket like, not dead yet, boys, and keep going.
little Undertaker action, the sit up.
Exactly right. It was just stealing from the Undertaker. That was the idea behind it. They then did lose, and because Patrick got hurt, Wilds correctly thought, I believe, that it would have been in poor taste to do it, which is a huge – I'm very fortunate that that's where Wilds' head was at, because my wife, who you know, saw the casket bit on Friday, the tease, and she's a much more kind of spiritual and the ephemeral person than me, and believes in energies and karmas and things like that. She was very adamant. She was like, you are not getting in that coffin. Like, oh, it would be a bit, but she was like, I want to make this very clear. I never tell you what to do professionally. You are not getting in that coffin. So it ended up being fortunate that everyone agreed that I shouldn't get in the coffin, even if the audience might have enjoyed it.
I tell you, you know, I could see Jillian having the same conversation with me had the roles been reversed. So it's smart and good that we're both married to women who are better and a lot smarter than we are. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Look, you know, we could go Kansas City Chiefs here, and that would just be a fastball down the middle for you. I'm going to pitch you backwards. I want to talk to you about something that I don't know if you've ever really talked about in public before, because you spark an awful lot of feelings in sports fans. I know that through all the years that I've been talking to you, through the Warriors, Rockets, Warriors, LeBron dynasty. You would come on my show and people would hate you and love you all at the same time. And that's why you're great at what you do, Nick. It's why you're on TV. What is the most uncomfortable, though? You have been in person around somebody who's come up to you in a controversial or confrontational way? Or are people not that brave in person, and that's mostly just on the internet for you?
So up until a year ago, really this past Super Bowl, so call it 9 months ago, 10 months ago, I think I had been confronted in person in a negative way maybe 3 times ever. Like there was one instance that sticks out from like 5-6 years ago of a guy who seemed like he wanted me to like take a swing at him, but that was, he seemed off and like what, like, you know, it was that one instance stuck out in my head as like the only real instance. Post the combination of, I guess, I would assume is kind of like my profile raising to where I'm more recognizable. The success of the Chiefs, me being, you know, leaning into the obnoxiousness of it. And then the Chiefs getting their teeth kicked in the Super Bowl by a team whose fans dating back to the first year of the TV show when Carson Wentz went down and I said the Eagles were stone drawing dead, and then they played that clip at their championship parade. That combined with my Jalen Hurts skepticism and kind of they had all Eagles fans had always kind of looked at me as a thorn. The fact that that team beat my team in such dominating fashion, and the fact that it became, you know, I told the story about how Jalen's mom had, you know, not confronted me, but talked to me the night before the Super Bowl at a party when I at first didn't know it was his mom. I thought it was just an Eagles fan, and then realized who it was, about going after what she thought was unfair criticism of her son. And she was totally within bounds. She was totally fine. But I told that story. The Chiefs get annihilated. Philly is 90 minutes from New York City. In the last, and then this year, the Chiefs were, you know, struggled a lot. In the last 9 months, there have been more, it's been, I don't know, 35 to 40 times of people talking shit to me in public. Like yesterday in the morning, this really irritated me actually. In the morning, I'm walking my dog and some guy driving an ambulance down my street rolls down his window and is like, Baton is like, what happened to your Chiefs? And then in the night walking my dog, some guy, different guy, different car, same street, driving down the street, rolls down his window and gets mad at me about like my Shador takes. But it's really been Chiefs related or Eagles related. My wife and I were on vacation at Casino Monte Carlo in Monaco. And a group of female Eagle fans, like, just talked cash shit to me at the casino. We were in, I thought there was a time, I honestly thought this could go really left, because right after, this might be too long, you know, I'm rambling, but I'll give you all the details. We're shortly after the Super Bowl, because I go to Philly a lot because they have casinos, and I play poker, and my wife plays blackjack. We went to Philly shortly after the Super Bowl, and I told Danielle, I was like, this is going to be a rough spot for me. Like, I'm just letting you know. But we went to dinner, and then after dinner, we went to a bar to get a drink. And I had kind of had found a disarming thing was, as soon as anybody said my name or said anything, I just said, congrats on the Super Bowl. Like, before they could say anything else, I'm in Philly. I assume they're Eagles fans. I was like, hit them with congrats on the Super Bowl. And most people were incredibly nice. We're at a bar, and this group comes over, and I'm like, hey, congrats on the Super Bowl. And everyone in the group is like, cool. And then this girl, woman, I should say, who starts mother effing me. And I'm like, oh, man. I was like, the problem with this is not going to be me. I was like, the problem is going to be my wife. I was like, you're drunk. You're being out of line. And I called it. I was like, man, in my head, I'm like, we got about 5 more seconds until my wife stands up. I was like, and now it's like a really going to be a tough situation. And that's exactly what happened.
People but are pulling luckily, out their phones. They're like,
right,
oh,
that's what I was. Right. And so luckily the guys this woman was with were, you know, more sober than her. So I say all that to say, I'll give you one last little anecdote. 2 weeks ago, I was out to dinner with my wife and daughter here in Manhattan. And we were, maybe it was a month ago, because it was nice enough, we were sitting outside. And I had gone inside to go to the restroom. And on my way back through the restaurant, there's this big group. And this guy's like, that is Nick Wright. And I'm like, oh, hi. And he's like, go Bills. And I'm like, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. It's, you know, nice. And I go outside. And then that guy with what looked like maybe a son or nephew, I don't know, older teenage age guy and someone his age, come outside and they're smoking and they're 15 feet from where it's me, my wife, and my youngest daughter. And he starts just chanting F the Chiefs, but saying it. And I'm like, you know what? I've had about enough of this. And I yelled at him. I was like, hey, I was like, man, I'm out to dinner with my wife and daughter. Like, you grow up. And his buddy apologized, but then he's kept yelling, and I'm like, am I gonna get in a street confrontation with my wife and daughter here because this guy's a clown? So there's, you know, 8 minutes of stories, I guess, of it has, after never happening at all, it has now started happening all the time, which is, I guess, you know, a combination of me being slightly more recognizable, maybe, you know, not beloved, and also rubbing people the wrong way. I mean, it's the tax. I'm not complaining. It's the cost of doing business.
It's the price of fame.
But it can be irritating.
It's the price of fame, but at least you're getting mother you know what it in Monte Carlo. So it's kind of working.
Well, I understand how that story came. It just happened to be some Eagles fans at Casino Monte Carlo.
Right.
We
got to talk some sports before you get going here. But by the way, I need to tell everybody, when you're in the mood for something to eat, you get yourself a sandwich at Ike's, pick up one, eat it for dinner. It's the fastest growing sandwich restaurant in America, and hopefully there'll be one near you soon. Nick, you got to order the Damon Bruce at Ike's. You'll be very happy at it.
I've seen the menu. I'm all the way on the East Coast, so I haven't been to your guys' actual location, but I was telling you, we go out to the Bay Area a couple times a year because my daughter goes to school out there. So I will be sure to stop by Ike's and ask for the Damon Bruce. There's no doubt about it.
Please do. Now, let me tell you, when we go get that beer, we got to go to the Dublin or West Portal. Nick, it's the only Bay Area, really San Francisco bar that has high school football helmets prominently displayed. So on that alone, you got to go say hi to Kenny and John for me. Great guys at the Dubliner. And hey, when you're making plays, do it with Sleeper. Best props, best bets, great payouts, great user interface. Use promo code Damon, get $100 off your first deposit up to $100. There you go. Business taken care of. Nick Wright, let's talk about maybe the positive of the Kansas City Chiefs right now. I know that there's not a lot of positivity out there. Let me give you the positivity. Maybe this Mahomes injury actually gets you an extra season or two from Andy Reid. Like, if everything were on track and you're still playoffs and you're in Super Bowls, man, maybe Andy's hanging it up a little sooner than later. You know, he's at that age. I think he might stick around for a spite season to have one more playoff run with his boy. And that could be 2-3 years from now, which means maybe Andy Reid sticks around a little longer. Is that any silver lining on the otherwise very gray cloud of this Chiefs season?
Listen, I think there is that. And I know some Chiefs fans are, you know, they want to move on from Andy. I think that's insane. I don't think this was the best year for anybody involved with the team. But Andy is one of the two or three greatest coaches in the history of the sport. And if, you know, if they do need some retooling, which they very well may, or they do, I should say, I trust Andy to be at the helm of it. The silver linings for me are more so, there is no silver lining to Patrick being hurt, but the silver lining to this team bottoming out rather than, you know, it clawing its way to 9-8 or even 10-7 and, you know, and ending up getting clocked in round one of the playoffs or missing being the last team eliminated from the playoffs is they are now going to have somewhere from the 10th to 12th pick of the draft. They're going to have a third place schedule. They're going to have a full off season. Not, you know, they have dealt with a decade straight of first place schedules, 7 years straight of drafting 28th or later in every draft, a decade straight of either the shortest off season in the league or the third shortest offseason in the league. And I also think, and listen, we'll see what the NFL schedule makers do this upcoming year, but the Chiefs became so much the marquee team in the league that last year they played every single day of the week except for on Tuesday. They now play, you know, this year they play Thanksgiving and Christmas and start the year in Brazil on a Friday. Like, there is a more semblance of a normal schedule. And the other thing
that getting yelled at in Monte Carlo, by the way.
Yeah, exactly right. I also think that there has been an element of Patrick will fix it. And I think the Chiefs are going to lose outright to the Tennessee Titans this weekend. I think you're going to see, and I understand Patrick's numbers the last couple of years were not exceptional. I think you're going to see how much he was doing to keep this operation afloat, particularly right now with all the injuries to offensive linemen and no running game to speak of. I just don't think that they're going to be able to move the ball at all, which will be I think Patrick will be back for the beginning of next season, but obviously no one's going to know that for a while. So them having to try to build a team that could, in theory, compete without Patrick Mahomes might mean a real investment in the running game, might force the young, promising wide receivers into developing the way they need to. All of those things could be positive, but he blew out his knee. I mean, he's the best player in the league. He's one of the two or three greatest players in the history of the league, and he blew out his knee, and it was in the midst of a season that 31 days ago, Damon, the Kansas City Chiefs were the favorites to win the Super Bowl. And now it feels like they haven't played a good game in that stretch, and they haven't. And so they got to fix some stuff.
Well, Nick, you need a bandwagon. And I want to welcome you to the Brock Purdy bandwagon. It's about time for you to hop on, man. This is a really good quarterback hiding in plain sight in front of you. Other people are getting – if I played this is the shadow. Here's a silhouette, and here are the numbers. And then it was Brock Purdy. You'd be like, oh, he's a lot better than I
– Hold on. Can I talk to you about this? So you're not going to bend an inch given the fact that we saw a quarterback that we all know is a bad player. Jones be dropped in there and look awesome. That doesn't at all give you pause that maybe what I've been saying all around is correct. No, which is, listen,
we always knew that Shanahan could coach up anybody. Wait until you see Tua become his next project, right? You know,
interesting.
This guy fixes quarterbacks and they play well underneath them. You know, you can't say Shanahan's not a good coach and Purdy's not a good quarterback all at the same time and using Mac Jones as the example to prove one or the other when he actually, like, why does one guy playing well mean the other guy's not really good? And I'll tell you, since Brock Purdy came back, the 49ers are number one on third down. They're 4-0 in football. He's got the best passer rating in football. I mean, this guy is really good. He plays beyond the expectations and what you think his limitations are. He's got more boogie on him than before. He's hitting the Dougie, which, again, no one's done since 2011. But he's bringing it back, Nick. It's happening. No, seriously.
I think Shanahan's
the 49ers are a story that needs more examination because none of this was supposed to happen this year. They could be the one seed, and they're banged up getting backup quarterback starts that were successful. No Bosa, no Warner, all season long, injuries everywhere. The fact that Shanahan's not in a coach of the year discussion, I understand Vrabel's running away with it, but the fact he's not in a discussion is ridiculous. This guy's having an incredible season as a head coach.
Oh, I agree with that 1,000%. I think Shanahan is, if I were power ranking NFL head coaches, I personally would go Reed, McVay, Shanahan, 1, 2, 3. And I, like, if people want to say Shanahan should be higher, like, I'll listen to him. I think Shanahan's brilliant. I think that what you guys have done this year, despite the injuries, is remarkable. I think the point you made that has been, I think, mostly overlooked by the national media is they absolutely might end up the one seed. Like, it's they're you know, they need some things to fall their way, obviously, but they're still alive for it. And given the catastrophic injuries they've suffered, the fact that Ayuk quit football, Warner out, Bosa out, you said it, Purdy out twice during the year, once for a long stretch, it's remarkable. I would be totally fine with Shanahan being coach of the year over Vrabel or over, I don't even know. Sean Payton. I don't know whom else are leading contenders. Maybe Mike McDonald is one as well. I agree with all that. And it's not that I'm saying Purdy is bad. I'm obviously not saying that. What I am saying is that if you see a bad quarterback this year in this system with this team look like a B+, then does that not then inform you when Brock Purdy looks like an A- that maybe he could be doing that despite the fact that he is the 17th best quarterback in football, the 14th best quarterback in football, something like that. That's my whole take there. But I do think the Niners as a team have been underrated and undervalued given what their resume is at this point in the season.
Look at it this way. There come certain quarterbacks where you get to the price of doing business is about to increase tenfold, and it's walk away. Purdy was never that guy. Purdy, the Boy Scout, Purdy, the in front of the podium. Purdy is the face of your franchise. All of these things matter. We see immaturity take down teams and quarterbacks all the time. There's none of that in Brock. You will never see him arrested in a police blotter. He's just the guy that you want leading your franchise. He really is.
No quarterback gets arrested. That's not a positive note. There aren't any starting NFL quarterbacks that were worried about getting arrested. I don't doubt that he's a good guy. I disagree with you, though, on the money piece. I think when you see a guy who anyone could have had, when you can get 85% of Brock Purdy's production for 8% of his salary, I do think the Niners, and now given the fact that he suffered another injury, if they had to do it all over again, wouldn't have given him that deal. But
friendly. There's no sticker shock on his deal at all. It's the price of doing business. Every starting quarterback's making between 20 and 40 million. Done. Unless you're on your rookie deal. That's the price of business.
And so, yeah. And I would have, when I saw what you got from Mac Jones for 5 million, that to me is more attractive than Purdy for 50 million. But again, I think the Niners, we disagree on Purdy. And I think this year has been more evidence in my side of the docket than yours, but the Niners being a dangerous team that we agree on. And let me add one other thing. He's obviously not going to win it, but if people are filling out 5-person MVP ballots, Christian McCaffrey should find his way on there.
That's my next topic, brother. You're just taking me right to my next topic. It is the single least covered aspect of the NFL this year. Christian McCaffrey needs to be slipped into the conversation. He's not the winner. He's not the MVP, but he's more involved in the 49ers offense than most quarterbacks are involved in their offense. And I'll tell you, if the V stood for volume, he's number one with a bullet. This guy touches the ball in a way that is almost unhealthy. The Niners have a Christian McCaffrey dependence. I really thought that Brian Robinson Jr. was going to be a little methadone. No, the Christian McCaffrey smack is what they pass around in that locker room, man. He is unbelievable. And the only reason why his running averages are down is because that offensive line in front of him is a yawn. It really is. He is still, he's broken more tackles than anybody in football this year. He's not,
and he's been one of the best receivers in the league. If I had an MVP ballot, I would have Stafford, May, and Allen in my top three spots, and then my next two spots would probably be McCaffrey and Myles Garrett. And Myles Garrett, I know the team stinks, but if he's going to get 25 sacks, I feel like putting him on there makes sense. But I think. JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba,
unbelievable year.
Probably going to win offensive player of the year. I think there's a case for McCaffrey in that spot. I mean, it's very different the way they're doing it, but I think McCaffrey's been that valuable to his team.
I don't necessarily want to get into it here, but as you know, we're going to hit Christmas and then all of a sudden the NBA is going to come into bigger focus than it is even this week. and you're going to be looking for other NBA topics to put on your show, you have to do an examination of the failure of the Golden State Warriors two-timeline plan. Steph is still the best player in this league. They got him surrounded with nada beyond Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. The Jonathan Kuminga situation, Nick, it's one of the weirdest things for a franchise that has actually turned that corner of competency to have gone through in a really, really long time. It is nuts, and it's actually making Steve Kerr look a little stubborn and bad out here, and people questioning how much longer he needs to stick around. And if the game has passed him by, he's deploying four guard lineups and only three guys on the team can dribble.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, I'm going to let you slide on Steph is still the best player in the league, because one could argue not only has Steph never been the best player in the league, he obviously at this moment is not better than Joker. He's not better than Shea. But your overall bigger – oh, one of the best players.
One
if you said one of, I agree with. Okay. If that's what you said, then I agree with you. Steph's unbelievable, obviously, and is holding off father time as well as any small player ever has. The team's not good enough, though. Like, people blame Kerr. The roster's not good enough. In 2025, it's soon to be 2026, Jimmy Butler is your second best guy, and Draymond Green is your third best guy. It's not good enough. And I thought the two-timeline plan was always idiotic. It's hard to say that considering they won a championship amidst it, so it seems like it vindicated it. But I'm, as a LeBron guy, a big believer that when you have one of the, in Steph's case, 10 to 12 greatest players in the history of your sport, and he is still at or near his prime, you owe it to him and to your fans and to the franchise to never be thinking about post that player. Like, it's all about right now, because the odds are you will never in the history of the franchise, or if you're lucky, maybe in 50 years, have a player as good as him again. So I agree with that. But I just think the Warriors are an also-ran this year. Like, the power of Steph should get them in the playoffs, but I don't see any reason to believe they are going to be different than last season, where they were fortunate to get out of round one. And even if Steph didn't get hurt, I didn't think they were a real threat in round two.
NBA expansion has become a topic. I think this is interesting. Seattle deserves a makeup team. I really want the Sonics to be reborn. Vegas, interesting, but the city is not quite booming the way it was just a few years ago. And there's all of a sudden a lot of professional teams competing for eyeballs there. If there was an NBA team moving to Vegas, it would be the worst thing to ever happen to the A's. The A's would instantly be the fourth most popular team in their city once again. So that would kind of make me laugh.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Nashville, Louisville, Kansas City, St. Louis. If they're adding four and two of them are going to be Seattle and Vegas, what would be the other two?
Oh, I think if they – listen, I don't think they're adding four. If they were to, I think the other two would be like London and Mexico City. I don't – and maybe not Mexico City. I don't think they are going to go mid-market U.S. Kansas City doesn't seem to want an NBA team. It makes me sad, but it's not going to happen. St. Louis is not an NBA city. I don't think Louisville and Nashville would support it. So, I think what is more likely is they add one, Seattle or Vegas, and then potentially move a team such as New Orleans to the other city, and you have a 31-team league. That works better. Like, the NFL can't have odd numbers, because then you have to have a bye in week one and a bye in week 18. Like, you need an even – the NFL has to be an even number sport. The NBA doesn't. You could have easily have 31 teams. You don't have to do it in pairs. So I wonder if they would consider doing that.
How much fun did you have hosting the World Series of Poker?
Oh, listen, I loved it. I mean, I love playing in it. I love doing it. It was a dream. It was a bucket list thing for me.
I mean, your love and of poker predates LeBron. You've been a poker junkie since high school, right?
I've been, since I was, 12, 13 years old. Yes. And being able to be a part of the main event final table was something I always wanted to do and I hope to do more of. And so, no, that was, thank you for asking, but that was a true, literal dream come true.
I got a personal question because I'm pretty good. Sure. I used to be a radio magician myself. I know how other tricks are done. I can usually spot the trick. You and I used to pull off the trick great. We would argue so hard on each other's local radio shows back in the day, and everyone thought we hated each other. We've always been friendly. But that's part of the craft, right? Making it sound like static when there really isn't sure. that much static at all. What's going on between you and Pablo Torre? I can't tell whether or not that is static or looking for eyeballs. What is going on?
Here's the thing. I mean, I think people listen to that interview we did. I think it speaks for itself. I think that, you know, I don't know if feelings were hurt. If they were, it wasn't intended. But if people are asking, you know, did I say anything in there I don't believe or wouldn't say again? The answer to that question is no. Like, this kind of is what it is. Maybe I think too highly of my own abilities or not highly enough of other people's. But I think that 30 minutes speaks for itself. And okay. I think it's pretty clear where I stand on it.
Okay. There's a little static.
I would say it is.
I respect that more than the illusion. I really do.
Not like and I used to go on each other's radio shows. That's what I would say. It is not like that.
Okay. Fair enough. Are you ready for my Hoosiers to shock the world? And
I think that'd be sick.
Our moms driving Nissan Maximas had a better chance of winning the Indianapolis 500 than Indiana ever did winning a Big Ten and going undefeated. Cignetti walks on water forever. Build the golden statue. He is Vince Lombardi, Nick Saban, and every other great coach that you've – Joe Torre. He's all of them wrapped into one. He's done.
Do you remember Bill Snyder?
Kansas State. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That was supposed to never, ever going to happen.
Correct. But here's the thing. It never did happen. Now, what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State, taking arguably the worst major college football program in the nation and making it a perennial contender-ish with a couple years of actual contention and more, you're right, more than respectable, like, you know, oh, that's a top 25 team. That was the greatest job in college football coaching history. But he never had that team undefeated. Like, as the favorite to win the national championship, what Cignetti has done in 2 years is unlike anything I've seen in collegiate sports ever. It's remarkable. And my only affiliation, listen, Fox has the Big Ten, so I like when the Big Ten schools are good. But my only affiliation within the Big Ten to Indiana is you. And so I on your behalf, I'm like, yeah, this would be sick. If when you know your whole adult life being a Hoosier sports fan means you root for the basketball team, like the fact that now the football team is sick is just remarkable.
I didn't know one could be happy on Saturdays. Like, I never knew that. Yeah. You're allowed to be happy on Saturdays, apparently.
Yeah, I mean it's the arguably the worst program in college football the last 50 years.
Oh, the only reason why you say arguably about Kansas State status is because Indiana existed.
Correct. Rutgers with Greg Schiano type of thing, except this feels so much more real, so much sturdier, and so much more legitimate.
How's the wife? How's the family? What are you doing for the holidays?
Oh, everybody's good. Daughter's back from college. My son just had his girlfriend just had a baby. So he's staying in LA with them. So I'm
Grandpa
a grandfather.
Grandpa
yeah, exactly.
Nick.
We were in LA over Thanksgiving to see them and see the baby. And then, my wife did a little more traveling and now we're all back. Daughter's, like I said, back from college. Younger daughter has a choir concert tonight and then wraps up school tomorrow, and then we get some time off. And then my guess is shortly after Christmas, my wife and daughters will leave me to go to some beach somewhere, and I'll stay in cold New York and work. That's what I imagine is going to happen.
Next time you're in the Bay, whether it's the Super Bowl that brings you out here, some family stuff bringing you to the West Coast, you look me up, man. It's been a long time.
Of course.
And we will hit the Dubliner, and we'll get that Ike's.
No doubt. I can't wait. The sandwich and beer. Ike's for the sandwich, Dubliner for the beer. I appreciate you, Damon.
I appreciate you too, Nick. Thanks so much for coming on by, and best of luck with everything, brother.
You too.
There he is, Nick Wright. We'll get a little more love for Ike's and the Dubliner in there too. Thanks again to him for stopping on by yesterday. Hold on. There we go. For those of you who seem to be confused, like a lot of questions, why would you have Nick Wright on? He gets eyeballs. That's why he makes millions of dollars a year on a network show. Whether you like him or not, people pay attention. Whether that's good or not, doesn't matter. People pay attention. Let me tell you, Nick and I are friends. And also, content has no friends. I don't care who gets offended by the guy I didn't like, but I watched the whole thing. So thank you very much for watching. If you did dig it, I appreciate it. If you didn't dig it, you know, we got a little Today in History coming up for you. I've got a few more supers, though. This was from Fuji Simeon saying, you know, love that Nick Wright video. The A's wouldn't. Here's the funny thing. Nobody's really even thought of this. Nick did. He's like, I haven't thought of that. There's talk of NBA expansion in Las Vegas. So the A's, who had to get out of the market that they were irrelevant in, right? They would instantly become the fourth biggest. It's Golden Knights, then it's the Raiders, then it's like UNLV or the Las Vegas Aces. Then it would be the A's in terms of importance in the city laws. The A's would be moving to the same situation they were looking to escape. That's just, mwah. It really is, if you think about it like that. But thank you, Fuji. Fuji coming in here talking earlier, saying, Gary Bears, Hoosier Bears. What would Papa Bear Hallis say about this? Would they really move? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this is a negotiating tactic. One more from Fuji saying, Damon, off topic, but I wonder if Puka would have the balls to say concussions that aren't real to Junior Seau's family. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he would. Again, why would you disparage something that affects the people who are in the same workforce you're in? Like Puka Nacua, I'm really glad that you haven't had a concussion yet. Believe me, you're one of those away from really believing in them. Finally, Chef A, happy holidays, Damon, for the ganja jar, for all the hard work and the fun shows. My love to Jillian and the boys. Thank you, Chef A. Mwah. Thank you so very, very much. Appreciate it. Very much appreciate all of you very, very much. And here is the deal. It is time for a little Today in History, don't you think? It's a good day in history. It's a pretty interesting day in history. Here we go. We always start with birthdays. It's amazing he's still with us, all things considered. It truly is. Keith Richards turns 82 years old today. Happy birthday, Keith Richards. Happy birthday to Steven Spielberg, 79 years old today. Brad Pitt, 62 years old. He still looks like he's in his 30s. Brad Pitt, 62 years old. Stone Cold Steve Austin is 61 years old. Katie Holmes, she was everywhere. And then she's just like, I'm done with Hollywood. I'm done with Scientology. I'm done with freaking Tom Cruise. And we haven't seen her since. Katie Holmes, 47. Happy birthday to a 45-year-old Christina Aguilera today. You want to talk about, geez, shouldn't he be a little bit older than that? We've been hearing about him for so long. Ronald Acuna Jr., who we were hearing about when he was a prospect in the Atlanta Braves system, he's now 28 years old. And let me tell you, Acuna is the kind of guy, had he not had just hamstring and knee tears and all sorts of just seriously serious problems with his lower limbs, Acuna had the talent to be a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying it's out of the question, but it's, you know, there's no way. He gets hurt every 6 months. It's too bad. He is so talented. And speaking of talented and really young, she's been around long enough where, God, I didn't realize Billie Eilish She's only 24 years old today. That girl has been blipping in the middle of the pop culture radar for quite a while for someone who's only 24 years old. So happy birthday to everybody. Today's the day the Mayflower in 1620 dropped anchor at modern-day Plymouth, Massachusetts. A passenger named William Bradford became the very first governor of the colony. So there you go. Mayflower docked today in 1620. Happy birthday to New Jersey. Today in 1783, New Jersey became the third state. And I got to tell you, you know, normally this is where I make the joke like, hey, you know, you look really good. New Jersey, you've clearly had work done. I can see the boat. I can see the plastic surgery trips all over you, New Jersey. Let's see. Today in 1865, a little something called the First Amendment went into effect that abolished slavery in the United States. I'm pretty sure they're trying to overturn that in real time now. Stay tuned. In 1892, The Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky premiered in St. Petersburg, Russia. When you were a kid in middle school or high school, you got dragged to a performance of The Nutcracker. At least I did, like too many times. I hated that shit. I don't like ballet. I don't. You don't appreciate it. No, I do. I'd rather watch a popping and locking contest than ballet. What are you kidding? Come on. It's funny, we were talking about the Bears and their inability to figure anything out with the stadium-wise today. In 1932, the Bears beat the Portsmouth Spartans 9-0 in what was at the time the very first NFL championship. The Chicago Bears can't win Super Bowls, won a shit ton of old NFL championships, and believe me, they are still selling that like it's relevant today. Those cheap bastards. Today in 1936, the very first giant panda to ever hit the United States hit San Francisco. Su Lin arrived from China today in 1936. And by the way, apparently San Francisco is close to getting another panda. They got it. Like, if you want to rent a panda, you never get to own the panda. You can only rent the panda from China, and it costs like $5 million. It's a lot of money China wants for its panda bears. Let's see. What else we got today? Oh, how about this? Today in 1961, you know, arguably the most well-known doo-wop song of all time was charting number one on the Billboard charts today in 1961. Eeya mama way, a weema weppa, weema weppa, weema weppa. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Hey, you know what? You can put The Lion Sleeps Tonight on right now. It's still a banger, as the kids say. That's going to get the dance floor moving. My 2 year old, or my two kids, none of them is 2 years old. My 6 year old, my 4 year old, they love The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Ozzy loves The Lion Sleeps Tonight. I'll catch him just sitting there going, a weem a whip, a weem a whip. It's great. Can't sleep on The Lion Sleeps Tonight. That shit's good. Today in 1966, How a Grinch Stole Christmas officially premiered on, what was it, CBS? It became a holiday staple, to say the least. I know for a fact that we will watch the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas in the next 4 or 5 days, for sure, before Christmas gets here. It'll be on in this house, for sure. Today in 1977, George and Kathleen Lutz purchased a new home at 112 Ocean Avenue in Amityville, New York. They lived there for 4 weeks, not even. Their 28-day adventure in the home got dramatically portrayed in a 1977 book that was turned into the 1979 film, The Amityville Horror. By the way, if you watch The Amityville Horror today and compare it to How Scary Is That? When you hold it up against modern movies, the answer is not at all. The Amityville Horror is, it's kind of a bore. I never understood why anyone really liked this or why this became like a horror classic, I guess because of the suspense and it had a real story nature to it. I mean, you had some creaky floorboards in a house and some weird shit happened and some people died, but you know, whatever. Amityville Horror, kind of a snooze, if you ask me. Today in 1987 was a hell of a night to go to the movies. It really was. In 1987, all debuting in theaters on December 18th, Moonstruck, Broadcast News, Eddie Murphy Raw, Overboard, and Leonard Part 6. Now, outside of the rapes, Leonard Part 6 was the worst thing that Bill Cosby ever did. The rest of this, Moonstruck, A+. Broadcast News, A++. Eddie Murphy Raw, I will still say to this day, is the most important comedy special ever recorded. It was omnipresent in my age group because in, 1987, I'm 12 years old. And the minute you got the Eddie Murphy Raw sound, the minute it was like nothing you had ever heard before. It was so filthy. As a matter of fact, it was so funny. But no one had ever heard a string of F words like that in the history of entertainment. And literally, that can be proven. When Eddie Murphy Raw came out, I got your ice cream and you can't have it. Raw had 223 F words in it. And that record stood cinematically until Goodfellas came out in 1990. But for a minute there, the number one title of most F words in a movie belonged to Eddie Murphy's Raw. It is still so funny. Oh, the bit about Mfufu, half Eddie, I'm going to take half. Oh my God. It was one of the funniest. I'm talking about streaming tears. So funny. Otis, damn, 223 F words. Serious. What's amazing about that is like, it's only 90 minutes long. He got 223 F words into an hour and a half. It's hilarious. It still works. Eddie Murphy, Raw. Richard Pryor, obviously, he had some huge moments in comedy albums, but Eddie Murphy was my generation's Richard Pryor. Let's see. Today, in 1997, we lost Chris Farley at the age of 33. This was like the week that I was graduating college. I was a December of 97 graduate at IU. And right around my exiting college, that was like the last worst. My final year of college basically began with Princess Diana dying and it ended with Chris Farley passing away too. So there you go. That is today in history. I would also tell you that Donald Trump today became the third president to ever be impeached in 2019. But, you know, you could impeach him every single day. There's something new to impeach him for. Do you see the pettiness on his presidential wall of fame again? What rational person would do that? If that isn't proof positive that you have a clinically insane person being surrounded by enablers and yes men, I don't mean to get into politics, but folks, we are at a point here where holy shit, okay? We're about to go to war to protect a pedophile. If you voted for him, that's your guy. Don't try to disclaim any of it. You own all of it. You broke it. You bought it. But I do thank you for being here today. I really do. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for supporting what we're doing here. And please, if you could hit like and subscribe before you're way out, I would appreciate it. And if you don't, them's the breaks. I get it. In the meantime, I will be back Friday morning, 9:05 a.m. with Kruger for a little wake up. We're going to have multiple wake-ups because we've got a Monday night float. So we're going to do a wake-up on a Friday, then a wake-up on a Monday. Then we're going to do a wake-up on a Tuesday because Tuesday is the day after Monday night football. So you're going to get a lot of wake-ups. And obviously with the Christmas holidays coming up, 11 a.m. shows are going to be moved around, a little negotiable from here and there. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, I had a big Christmas luncheon I'm going to with Jillian. So we will not be doing a live show at 11 a.m. on Friday, unfortunately. But we will be doing wake up. So I will see you then. Thank you so much for watching. Really appreciate it. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's. Wait, did I get to every. Wait. Did I get to everybody's super here? Have I got all the supers? I hope I got all the supers. Do we get any coming in here? I don't want to miss anybody's. What do we get this? Off top of Puka. We did that. We did Chef A. And it's basically a whole bunch of Fuji out there. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you. Okay, now we can officially wrap up the damn show then. Let's see. Where are, there we go. Sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.